holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our lives are filled with many words. And some words are more important than others. Just think for a moment when you were going to ask somebody for a first date, how important that was. And compare that with the other times you asked them for a date, after you've got to know the person. There's something about a word that when you apologize to someone, or when you want to hurt someone, the words are very different. And sometimes when you say goodbye to someone who you love, and it will be for the last time, it's very different than the many goodbyes you've shared with them over the many years of times that you've known. Words are very important. And today we have a sneak preview of some of the words that Jesus is using when he begins his ministry. The words are not necessarily words of ending, but words of beginning. And what we get there is a sense of Jesus beginning his ministry. Last week, when we spoke about the wedding at Cana, that was Jesus' first act, and first public act to that particular ministry. And if you remember, he turned all the water into wine. In fact, I had to go home and have a glass of Chardonnay. I really got so thirsty. But today, what we're hearing is that he's preaching something, and he's going to his old synagogue, and he gets up, and it was his custom to read, you know, maybe Torah, and then to sit down and begin to teach. And as he began to teach, he says, "Today the words are fulfilled in your hearing." And what he offers us at that point is good news. Good news about something that is coming, good news about something that is present, good news that is available to all. And so when we talk about good news, what we hear is Jesus inviting people to a new way of understanding what religion is about, what their life is involved in, what he means to all the people. But the question I want to raise today is, do we hear that good news? Is that word that he promises to us something that we hear is perhaps maybe superficial, or maybe just ordinary, or it doesn't matter anymore, we've heard it so many times? Can we hear it with its freshness, with its clearness that he is meaning it for us today? So when he says good news, what he means is that we're all involved in a world in which we are cared for and loved, and where God sees us as enough. Yet the world tells us that we're not enough, and that the world tells us that we have to buy or be something that we're not in order to feel comfortable with ourselves. So what you have is a contrary view here. And what we tend to do is not listen to the scripture reading that you're good enough and God loves you, but we listen to the commercials that say you're not good enough unless you have this, or unless you act this way, or you own these particular things. So the question I want to ask you is, who do you believe? What is it that you believe in your heart? Do you believe that the cultural values that we pick up in our commercial environment are true? Or do you hear the words of God as a fresh invitation for us to be able to reevaluate our value and our purpose and our meaning in the world? Because we can be taken as items and products. We can be used as interchangeable things if we follow the rules of the world, the game of society, the game of capitalistic interchange. We can be reduced to things and bits if we want to play the game. But we can stand above that. We can be more than if we hear the gospel of Jesus that tells us, number one, you're important to me. I value you. And you have great meaning in this world. We all know that the commercials are not true. We all know that what we see on TV is something that is merely for the sake of making commercial money and selling products. But yet somehow, because of our own insecurity, our own sense of finiteness, we tend to believe what is being offered to us. But we have to get to the point in our lives where we actually listen to the words of Jesus and put them at the center of our being, so that we can stand on them as one stands on very solid rock. He says today, and I want to point to that word today. What is today? Today is an ontological category of being, which means that today is something that you will never have again, but you must be present to it. You must be open to it. You must be accepting of it. Many of us, there's no question, live in the past. We remember our histories, and we interpret the world based on our past experiences. We impose those bad experiences or those good experiences or those limited experiences to anything new that comes our way. And what we do, we rob the world of our freshness. We rob it of its mystery and of its surprise. Many people also live in the future. They plan their life beyond their capacity. They're living in the tomorrow that they don't have. They're idealists. People living perhaps above the reality that they're living in. And so there's no real substance. There's no real category. There's no real character to what they're living in. But when Jesus says today, he's talking, he's transhistorical. Jesus is talking from that point on all the way to the future of generations. Today is something that is never unchanged, that's never changing. Today is a reality that we all have, but we have to kind of open our eyes to be able to see it as an eternal reality, the eternal now. There was a book I read years ago, which was called Be Here Now, Be Now Here. It was one of those 60s books, you know, like really cool, where you're trying to figure out where your belly button is, and you're sitting and you're chanting, and you know about everything, just like years right now. But there's something very serious. It's hard to share about it, but he's going to get me later, I know that. So there's something about the being here and the being now of Christian existential reality. When I talk about existential, I'm talking about really where you are, what life you live, what decisions you make. How is it that you interpret what's coming your way? Do we interpret it from bad experiences? Do we interpret it from limited experiences? Or do we allow it to be open and fresh for what it really is? You see, life is still fresh. We become old. We get tired. We're the ones that already categorize and close off different things that are coming our way. But the truth is, life is ongoing. It's fresh. It's constantly recreating itself. We're not just going to enter. It feels like spring, doesn't it? I mean, these last few days when it's nice and warm, I get the feeling, and I saw a rabbit this morning. I said, hey, good luck. You see flowers. Yeah, kind of superstitious stuff. But you see flowers, and you see birds, and you hear all kinds of things around you, and I can feel life happening. I can feel it coming and brimming all over again, and that's the very essence of who we are inside. But we close it down, we shut it off, we limit it, we protect it to such a degree that we never invested or reinvested in life. Jesus is telling us that you need to hear these words, and I don't need to say it that way, but it's true. We need to hear it in a way that I need to hear these words. Because when you hear these words, you become receptive and open, humbled, and ready to see what God is offering us in our lives. And you know, like many people, it begins by accepting that we're limited, that we have shortcomings, that we have difficulties in our life. One of the great things in the AA movement is recognizing you got a problem, right? The guy said, yeah, my name is Willie and I have a Chardonnay problem. But these guys and women who really can do that honestly and truthfully, there's a burden that they release. They feel like, yeah, I said it. Oh my God, I said it. This is really who I am. This is where I am in my life. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? And at least at that point, you've hit a place of honesty, truth. And that's the way you begin to rebuild your life. That is where you begin to reconstruct a life based on honesty. Because most of the time, where you got there was dishonest. You lied your way. You cheated your way. You did everything you can to live that kind of life that was destructive. But now, you're able to say, this is who I am, and begin there to reconstruct and build your life. So there's a relief and release when one accepts and says, yes, I need you. When you say, yes, I need you, God, what does that do to you? Do you feel the same feeling like, I finally can admit that I need God. I finally can let go of the fact that I think I'm in control of everything, that all the solutions in the life are on me, that all the mysteries in the world need to be solved by me. Or you can let it go and say, you know, I am just a participant and I am part of the onflowing God's reaction and response to the world. And I will learn as I go on and I will listen and I will trust. Have you heard those words? I said it once when I had to do a marriage ceremony and the guys usually object when I say, you will listen to your wife and you will trust what she says. I love the guy said, I don't want that part. You don't want that part. But it is a life of listening and trusting to what the other is saying, to see it as a fresh new revelation, and to capture it as a new insight, and then to live out of that. You see, this is what we need in our lives, is that openness to the joy of all things that are coming. So Jesus says, today, today. Can you think of today? Can you eliminate for a moment everything that's past, everything that's future, and allow yourself to be in the moment, the holy, sacred moment in which all truth resides, in which the reality brims, the face and the voice of God is present right here, right now, this moment. And allow yourself to be fully involved and fully engaged and immersed in that moment. Mm-hmm. And to allow God's love and to wash over you, to fill you with a sense of real groundedness and peace. This is what Jesus wanted to promise. He said the good news, I bring news, I bring words for the blind. The lame will walk, the dead will rise, the blind will see. These are words that we need today when we're so caught up in such negative dialogue all around us. So today is the beginning of you being able to see the reality of what God is offering you, and that is good news, release, good news, freedom, and liberation, love, and a chance to be able to live life again. You know, that's really where we stand, and sometimes when we have experiences, you know, a lot of people say they have a real reality change when they have something go wrong in their life. You know, you lose your job, you lose your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you fail your test, something wakes up in you, you know, you kind of get a real. But sometimes we need to get real without the consequences of that. We need to get real without the crisis of that. And it comes through love, and it comes through pleasure, and it comes through insight, beauty, goodness. These are the moments that wake us up. Don't just process them. Don't be a consumer. Your consumer of truth and beauty is like just eating and pooping. I mean, we're more than that, aren't we? Good news, beauty, truth, all of these things that come in our life, they make us what we are. They awaken us to truth. They are the bread and butter of what we are. So when we have those, these are the things that wake us up, as well as all the tragedies that we're involved. So Jesus says, today I bring you good news. Will you hold on to that, and will you put that at the center of your being and trust that it is true what he says, and that you're going to believe it and you're going to live it? And if you do that, you'll be able to see wonderful things again. You'll be able to hear wonderful things again. You'll be able to touch and experience wonderful things again. No matter where we are in our life, in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. I talked this Wednesday about interpretations of life, and I read this one time on a Facebook. There are three stages to life. The first stage is you're born. The second stage is, what the heck is this? And the third stage is you die. Doesn't this sum it up? What do you do in between? What do you do in that takeaway? What is this? What are you doing then? There's so much, you know, and it's such a narrow perspective of life. But the truth is, we as Christians have more. We have reconciliation. We have forgiveness. We have new conversion. We have inspiration, revelation. We have all of these things that come in our life that keep reinventing and recreating our life. You know, we have something that's pretty cool.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. So today, the freedom is there, the light is there, God's life and living is offered to you today. Hopefully you'll take advantage of that. Don't let something horrible happen for you to wake up. Take it with a sense of life and joy that is being offered to us today.
Amen. Amen.